Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Glovina Show. I'd like you to do me a huge favor. Could you please post, call, or text someone and invite them to join us on the Dr. Glovina Show? And I am Glovina Williams. Before we move on, I want to remind you that God knows the thoughts and the plans He has for your life. But the question remains, do you believe God? Because when we truly believe God, this belief requires action. In other words, I'm encouraging you to step out on faith. I want to remind you, this is a safe place where you can gain clarity to rebuild and possibly restructure your life and feel safe and happy while doing it. Okay, let's get started.
I want to welcome you to the Dr. Glovina Show, and I am Glovina Williams. I'm happy that you're here with me, and I see several of your numbers that are showing up. I know many of you are joining us by Facebook. I'm so happy to see you. I just want to take a quick moment, and not necessarily to rush it, but just to pay. I just want to give a very beautiful acknowledgement for this really is a special day of this particular recording. And oh, by the way, thank you so much, Marie. I want to just give a very special acknowledgement to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And most of us know about him, but I just believe that it's always appropriate to give honor where honor is due. And I'd just like to share a bit about him just as a matter of record for future listeners. Martin Luther King Jr., he was born January 15th, 1929, and he was assassinated April 4th, 1968. And Martin Luther King was born to Michael, let me say it this way. His original name, if I could say it like that, his name was Michael Luther King Jr. In a sense, he was named after the Archangel Michael, Michael Luther King Jr. But later, he had his name changed to Martin. His grandfather began the family's long tenure as pastors of the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, United States of America, serving from 1914 to 1931. His father has served from then until this present time that this particular bio was written. And from 1960 until his death, Martin Luther King acted as co-pastor. Martin Luther attended segregated public schools in Georgia, graduating from high school at the age of 15. Martin Luther King received his Bachelor of Arts degree in 1948 from Morehouse College, which is a distinguished Black institution of Atlanta, from which both his father and his grandfather had graduated, another legacy there. But after 3 years of theological study at Crozer Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania, where he was elected president of a predominantly white senior class, Martin Luther King was awarded the BD, the Bachelor of Divinity, in 1951. With the fellowship won at Crozer, he enrolled in graduate studies at Boston University, completing his residence for the doctorate in 1953 and receiving the degree in 1955. In Boston, Martin Luther King met and married Coretta Scott, a young woman of uncommon intellectual and artistic attainments. Two sons and two daughters were born into this family. In 1954, Martin Luther King became pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Always a strong worker for civil rights for members of his race, King was, by this time, a member of the Executive Committee of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, which is the NAACP. It was the leading organization of its kind in the nation. Dr. King was ready, and then early in December 1955, to accept the leadership of the first great Negro nonviolent demonstration of contemporary times in the United States. The bus boycott described by Garner John in his presentation speech in honor of the laureate. The boycott lasted 382 days. Then on December 21, 1956, after the Supreme Court of the United States had declared unconstitutional the laws required segregation on buses, blacks and whites rode the buses as equals. During these days of boycott, King was arrested, his home was bombed, he was subjected to personal abuse, but at the same time, he emerged as a black leader of the first rank. Then in 1957, he was elected president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, an organization formed to provide new leadership for the now civil rights movement. The ideals for this organization took from Christianity, its operational techniques from Gandhi. In the 11-year period between, King traveled over 6 million miles, and he spoke over 2,500 times, appearing wherever there was injustice and protest and action. And meanwhile, he wrote 5 books as well as numerous articles. In those years, he led a massive protest in Birmingham, Alabama, that caught the attention, listen at this, my beloveds, of the entire world. And it provided what we called a coalition of conscience, and inspiring his letter from a Birmingham jail, a manifesto of the Black Revolution. He planned the drives in Alabama for the registration of Blacks as voters. He directed the peaceful march on Washington, D.C., where over 250,000, to whom he delivered his address, the famous address, I Have a Dream. He conferred with President John F. Kennedy and campaigned for President Lyndon B. Johnson. King was arrested up towards 20 times and assaulted at least 4 times. He was awarded 5 honorary degrees. He was the Man of the Year by Time Magazine in 1963 and became not only the symbolic leader of American Blacks, but also a world figure. At the age of 35, Martin Luther King Jr. was the youngest man to have received the Nobel Peace Prize. When notified of this selection, he announced that he would turn over the prize money of $54,000 to the furtherance of civil rights movements. Finally, my beloveds, on the evening of April 4th, 1968, while standing on the balcony of his motel room in Memphis, Tennessee, where he was to lead a protest march in sympathy with striking garbage workers of that city, Martin Luther King was assassinated. Today in America, we celebrate as a federal holiday Martin Luther King's birthday. We celebrate in honor of him. I want to thank you for listening to this today. We do. We give great honor to Martin Luther King, and we honor his family. and we bless them and we pray for them. With that being said, I want to talk to you today about a reset. I want to talk today about a reset for the release. As we have read and we have learned a little more, maybe something was shared with you today that you didn't know about Dr. King. But he also did a reset, not just for America, not only for the African American race, but he did a reset for the world. He did a reset for those who have felt injustice, for those who were experiencing discrimination on various levels. As I remember, just a personal story. A few years ago, I think it was the first time I had traveled to London, England. While I was there, they had life-size statues of famous people. And there I saw a statue, life-size, of Martin Luther King. And I was amazed, because even though I knew that Martin Luther King had touched my life and the lives of so many here in America, I was not aware at the time that London had honored him with a life-size statue. It really gave me a sense of how much and how far-reaching his impact was upon the world. So I want to talk about this reset for the release. You may be in a position in your life where you can make a greater impact. Your impact can far exceed what you may ever believe. I'm almost certain that Martin Luther King had no idea that his work would be this far-reaching. But I want you to know that you too, as you are living a life that is prayerful, that you will bring about resets and releases for yourself. And you often hear me say, for your family, for your community of faith, for your loved ones, for your city, and for your state. I have been praying for the last 8 days with a group of people of about an average of 30 people. 30 of us are showing up 3 times a day to pray and to seek God for various reasons, but all for the well-being of humanity. There was a woman in the Bible. I want to share this with you. I believe it's in the book of Luke, chapter 18, and it was verse 1, simply verse 1. And it was a parable about a woman who was persistent. And if we will be persistent, we will see the release in whatever area we are persevering, we are persevering. This little scripture was designed to teach us to be fervent in prayer so that we can begin to see the releases. Sometimes the reset is a release of someone opening a door for you. Yes, I'm talking about doors of opportunity, doors of blessings, doors that can take us to new dimensions and new heights, doors that can shift, doors that can reset our lifestyle. There is a key to the kingdom that really is hanging right at the door. Yeah, if someone ever said to you, I don't know if we still do this, but, you know, the key will be under the doormat. In other words, you're welcome to come in even though I may not be there. So there are some doors of opportunity that will be opening for you, and you may not even know. The person that's opening the door may not be on the other side, but what you need for the reset and for the release of the abundance to enter into your life is on the other side of that door. The key to the kingdom of God is hanging right at the door. And that being said, the Bible says that men ought to always pray and not faint. Yes, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, He spoke these words to us so that we could be taught not to faint, to continue in prayer, because the reset could be in the next words or phrase that you submit to God. And this reset can be the release for you, for your community, for your city, for your family, for the entire world. Jesus said, men, and I add, he means humans, humanity, ought to always pray and not faint. Jesus stated this. And when he stated it, listen up at this. He stated it presuming that you are a praying person. He has supposed, it is expected that we pray. Yes, that we pray for the reset, for the shift, for the open door, for the opportunity. It is assumed here, if I can use that term, it is supposed that we are praying and that we are constant or even occasionally communicating with God. That's what prayer is, my beloved. It is communicating with God. Prayer is a two-way, at least two-way, maybe more. You may be praying with others. As I told you, over the past 8 days, I have been gathering with about 29 other people praying for the reset, for the release, yes, for the power of God to intervene into various areas. Jesus presumed that we are praying constantly or occasionally. And I'll say it again. It is presumed that we are praying constantly or occasionally. We are communicating with God Almighty. And that we're doing it steadfastly. I mean steadily. I mean stately. That we're doing it in a grand manner. Yes. That we're even praying in emergencies. It is an honor that God has given us to come into the throne room to reset some situations. Someone just grabbed it. That we are honored to pray to communicate with God. It's our duty, my beloved. Listen, the Bible even says that it's a sin if we don't pray. If we don't communicate with God, that we don't acknowledge, because what? It's a constant work that needs to be done. We need to pray every day, and we must never grow weary of praying. Nor should we think that, hey, I'll just leave it off for today. We don't put it off because we do not want to be, at least I don't, want to be swallowed up with the cares of the world. Yeah. Yes. The Lord is teaching us to be consistent, to persevere. I am telling you, I am praying with a group of consistent people that are persevering, that are not dropping the torch. They're not dropping the banner. They are moving forward in prayer for the release. Yes, for the release, for the release of the negative to be gone and that the positive sets in, for the release of doubt, fear, and unbelief, releasing us. And we're being reset into a new realm of faith. This is what prayer can do. Sometimes we're praying, just asking God, Yahweh, for spiritual mercies. Sometimes we're in the pursuit for ourselves in prayer. Sometimes we're in the pursuit for others, praying for ourselves, praying for others, praying for our community of faith, praying for the kingdom of God at large. Sometimes, my beloved, we're simply praying for strength. Strength to be able to stand against the forces of evil. Strength to be able to recognize, listen at this, my beloveds, to recognize that we may have some bad habits that need to be broken. The reset, for the release. The reset comes so that we can let go. And prayer gives us the power and the strength and the determination and the mind to let go. There are some things that we have attempted to let go, but it seems like we have not been able to. I'm going to share a secret with you. This is where we simply put it in the Lord's hands. Yes, in that prayer for the reset in the Lord's hands, place it in Almighty God's hands. But the step is that we come to Him in prayer and we give it to Him. Lord, I have tried. I've done my best. And maybe I haven't even done my best. Maybe I have not even done it or tried to accomplish it to the best of my ability, but I'm placing this in your hands. And now, God, I come with a prayer of trust and faith in you, that you will show me how to tunnel out of this and to come into the marvelous light. Yes. Sometimes we're praying for the corruptions that are taking place in maybe even in our minds, in our lives, and in the lives of others. Sometimes we are praying because we need deliverance from some of the worst enemies, which is doubt, fear, and unbelief. But we continue in prayer for the reset. We must pray and not faint. We have to seek God. And when you're seeking God's face, what that means is simply communicating with God, praying. When we do that, it's not in vain. Our prayers are not in vain. Even when you pray for deliverance for others, it's not in vain. We may not see the immediate manifestation. However, we know that we have come to an all-knowing God. And now by faith, we receive the answered prayer. That's the reset for the release. It's in God's hands. Even those that may try to persecute us, oppress us, that goes into the hands of God as well. We speak the word, and the power that is in the words begins to take shape and manifestation. Not to bring harm to anyone, but to relieve us of the anxieties, the troubled minds, so that we can walk in His peace. Yes, so we do. We need to know more about prayer. I'm sure that Martin Luther King, I have no doubts, was a man, and he brought so many things to God, and many of us are experiencing the reset, the release, from the prayers of this great man. And I want to share this before we begin to close out our podcast today. Sometimes we believe that God is just running everything. Sometimes we build air castles. Although we do and we know that God is the highest, He is the ultimate. He is the utmost of any and every being, and we believe that God is the creator and the originator. But we do know that as we live in troubled times, it is our responsibility to bring these cares, to release the solutions into the atmosphere, to pray solutions to God. Yes, you pray the solution. You see the dilemmas. You see the situations. You see the chaos. How would it be if it was in God's divine perfect will? That's what you pray for, the release, the reset. People are suffering all over the world. We know this. But God's will can be done if you, my beloved, will pray God's will. If you will pray, if you will speak the word, God will attend to it, oh my God, and reset and carry out His will in your life, in my life, and in the lives of so many. I'm going to read a verse to you from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Miss God, why haven't you answered this prayer? He is not slow in keeping his promise. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Yes. I want to say to you that I love you. And let us make these intercessions. This is a time for it. I'm telling you, this is a time for it. And I want to thank those that have joined me. Our audience is expanding. And I wanted to continue to talk about the reset for this year, for the release. You're being released from things that may have held you down. But I don't want you to give up, because you have the power to speak the word of deliverance, the word of the reset, the word for release. Because as I said yesterday to some people, very loving people, the blessing that you may be looking for, it may be at the very bottom. So don't give up. Don't give up because you don't see it immediately. God is still blessing you. Continue to move forward in all that God has done for you. You know, we have listeners from all over America that are listening. We have listeners from Italy. Listen at this: Bulgaria, Ghana, Liberia, Brazil, London, Germany, the Netherlands, Sardinia, Italy, Romania, Malaysia, Australia, and South Korea. Wow. God, thank you for this reset, even of new listeners. I do pray that something is said to you that's blessing you, because I want to give another shout out. I want to say hello to my beautiful mother, my aunts. I want to say hi today to CJ. And I want you to know that we're praying for Mr. Williams. We want to shout out today to the Arlington Department of Human Services in Virginia. Yeah. We want to say hello to Paula and Donna and Penny, Sheba, Tina. We want to shout out also to Paul and Rita. I want to shout out to the Chicago police officers. There are so many. My God. We want to shout out to Judy and Sheila. Hi, I want to shout out to Carla today, Stephanie, Antonio. Hi, Chloe. Sending you a big kiss, my beloved. We want to shout out to Steen today and Wanda, Rosemary. Hello. Did I say hi to Terry and Dominique? Hi, Christian. Hi, Josiah. Love you. And what a powerful young man you are and you will continue to be. Hi, Gladys, Shatoya, and James. I want to shout out today to, hey, my loved ones in Tampa, Florida. I want to shout out to the Sowell family. I want to shout out today to, Little Jewel. Yeah. I want to shout out to, Big Jewel, as we say. There's so many. I may not have called. Hey, Margareta. I may not have called. Oh, my God. I want to shout out to all of you today. Shelly, hello. Denise, hello. I want to say hi to Gloria. If I didn't call your name today, it's not because I don't love you. It's because you're so special. And I may not have your name written down. So please, just, Deacon Johnny and your beautiful wife, hello. Oh, my God, I want to say thank you for your dedication to the prayer line. All of you that are praying will be praying for another 14 days for the reset and for the release. Remember, you're the one who can stand in the gap and reset the things that will come, that should come into line with the will of God. I want you to know that I love you. Did I shout out to Marie? I think I did. I want you to know that I love you. And I'm so happy that you took this time to be with me. It means a lot to me. I want to say hi also to Courtney. And I want to shout out a congratulations to Isaiah. God bless you and continue to prosper you. I want to shout out to Prophetess Moreland and Elder. Thank you. I want to shout out to Lady Easley. God bless you. We love you. And I want you to know that God loves you even more.
Thank you. And please join me the next time on the Dr. Glovina Show. You can connect with me on my social media platforms. And until next time, love, peace, and prosperity.